live and direct. Oh man, it's hard to hit the fader knob on that. Sound of the Music of Black Uhuru. Classic recording. What is life? I ain't lying. I ought to push the fader knob back up and get my groove on, but I'm gonna pull it. I pull the fader knob, I hit stop button, because coming up in our second hour, I had the wonderful opportunity to be interviewed by my guest on, I believe it's 107.3, he can clarify that, one of those great power stations that are out there. We had a great time. And I said, man, you got to let me reciprocate. We got to have you with the LIB Radio Network, because it was a great, very fast-paced conversation. Welcoming, joining us on the telephone line from a secret location somewhere east of the Mississippi River, Paul Allen Billings. Greetings to you, Paul. How you doing today?
How you doing, my brother Akiti, man? Yeah, it's 103.7 to beat, but that's all right, man.
103.7. I'm not really good with numbers. Sometimes I'm a little dyslexic, you know.
But it's all good, man. We enjoyed having you on, and I noticed we had some members sign up that day that you was on radio, which
that's
excited
right.
me. And, you have the yardstick of what radio should be.
Well,
I gotta say that.
I appreciate your compliments, and you also get paid for doing what you do, man.
Yeah, I'm the founder, and we have a staff of about 25.
That's right.
One of the few African-American independent-owned radio stations in the United States.
That's right. Talk to us about 103.7, and how did it come into being?
Well, we came into existence because of Bill Clinton. When he was in office, he signed a bill for low-power FM radio, which actually allow local communities to get radio stations. They squeezed in some stations into different cities and areas. And I was fortunate to get a license back.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we're celebrating 7 years as of February the 19th. And one thing, the stipulation requires that you got to have local programming.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have local staff and no satellite programming. It was to increase diversity on the radio dial. So a lot of African Americans slept on that.
Yeah.
Because we missed a great opportunity to take over some of the dials in certain cities. So we've been pretty fortunate. Try to be different, Akiti, try to be like you, but no way can we be what you are. Looking at your all-star lineup, the roster that you don't had on radio, man. We can't even touch the hems of that, man.
Well, yeah, let's just say this much. You with the LPFM station and LIB radio with the internet radio station, ultimately we should consider ourselves to be fingers on the same hand, and the hand won't know its power until we learn to fully cooperate with each other.
That's right, brother. That's why anytime you need me, I'm there, and I want to have you on monthly, because I think or more frequently as we can, because I think the information that you're sharing, it kind of goes along with our mission statement here as a radio station, to educate the urban community about issues that affect their well-being and utilize all available resources to the best of our abilities. One of the things our callers get, they want to know, how can they become more conscious? Where can they get information about becoming conscious? And of course, your whole programming is dedicated to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I feel obligated in 2009 and as one of my commitments to drive people to LIB, you know, because that is the road to consciousness. And that is you have the platform, you have the education. It's almost like a college.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You should get a credit when you listen to LIB.
Hey, well, that's not a far off base point, because we really have always approached this as if this were an academy, that we are self accrediting, and we get our credentials really through the positive actions that we engage in once we are filled with the knowledge. And I want to explore a little bit further about the idea of low-power FM. And again, you're in what city?
We're in Muskegon, Michigan, right outside Grand Rapids.
Okay, Muskegon, Michigan. And so are you also simulcasting on the Internet?
Yes, we are simulcasting at 1037thebeat.com.
1037thebeat.com. All right, and we're going to do the best we can to participate with you in some of our upcoming programs. We can just put you right through to our system and begin to build and to expand. But LPFM, I wrote about it in a book that I published in the mid-1990s, the book called The Technology of Control, and we talked about the technology of liberation and the technology of self-sustenance in low-power FM. Was a situation that was available there, but as you say, black folks slept on it.
Yeah. I mean, folks shouldn't believe that it can happen, first of all, and they didn't take the time to read, Katie. You know, they really missed out on the golden opportunity to get a license. So, and I consult with another radio station similar to this in Benton Harbor, Michigan, who are also African American owned. But when we go across the state of Michigan alone, man, you know, we in Michigan, we got a lot of African Americans here, but it's only about, you know, about four or five radio stations that's African American owned. And that's a shame. If you go across America, and you know, you see that in every city, what we hear and what we see and what we read is majority controlled by people that don't look like us.
Mm-hmm. What's the output wattage of your transmitter?
We're 100 watts. Mm-hmm. We're 100 watts. But we have a radius of 35 miles.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and that covers our whole city and gets us out and. Actually, this low-power FM radio station did better in the ratings than the commercial radio stations that came in to compete against us.
That's right. Yeah, because you serve the people, and ultimately the people are the ones that are going to be the judge of what serves them best.
Right. And that's what radio should be. Serve the people. Don't forget who you're there for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, provide information as what you do with LIB. And it's an ongoing battle because you're dealing with, you know, sometimes you're dealing with people who don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Katie, there's some issues to me that's very personal that I think we really need to address as Black Radio. That being the abortion rate among
mm-hmm.
African Americans,
mm-hmm.
The fatherhood, supporting Black-owned business, and the Black-on-Black crime, and also speaking out on racism. I think we still have the obligation to speak out on issues that goes on in our community, and not forget the least of thee.
Mm-hmm.
That goes on, and so our radio station has done more than just play music. We have a mentorship program with
mm-hmm.
Young African American boys and females who might not have role models in their life. We started an outreach choir called the Yes Choir. It stands
mm-hmm.
for Young and Excited and Saved.
Okay,
and it's underneath our umbrella. They go out to the community and minister to young men and women. We've done anti-gang rallies. We just did a lock-in Friday night with the youth. We took off. We took 185 young African American kids off the street Friday night from 10 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. We feed the needy. So we trying to do what we feel the core issues need to address, and that's definitely dealing with our youth.
Wow, that's so wonderfully positive. I want to talk more about the political social impact of a Black-owned broadcast. But still on the subject of the technicalities of bringing this 100-watt station forward, did you have you did obviously have to deal with the issues of raising the money for the studio, the transmitters, staffing up and everything. As you are the CEO of the operation, talk to us about some of the challenges there in the beginning and maybe some of the ongoing challenges of the economics of running Black media.
Oh, yes. You know, I was a correction officer, so I started off as a correction officer at a young age of 19, and I saved probably about $20,000 of my own money. So I retired from working in the prison. I told myself I want to become part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I took my 401k, took that $20,000, and actually only probably got probably about $7,000 or $8,000 from the bank,
mm-hmm.
Which I could use my house, which is paid for security. So it really the startup costs only about $25,000 that I put into this business to start up.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, of course, getting advertisement and underwriting is what keep you going. And building relationships, and that all takes time. And fortunately, I was a person who already was known in the community and knew the business climate and served on several boards and had been active. So my road to success on securing that advertisement was probably not as hard as some other radio stations
mm-hmm.
In the community. I mean, it's a close-niche community here. The community here is about 179,000 people. So it's not as big, you know, and I was born and raised here, so a lot of folks knew me. They knew me from high school playing DJing at the Doggone Dances.
Okay.
So, you know, so to have one of their own grow up and get his own radio station, it wasn't hard to get that advertising now.
Mm-hmm.
What we're experiencing now on the climate is that we're probably not getting what we deserve. I could say that much.
Mm-hmm.
There's a after this economic, I think 9-1-1 really starting to take its effect. People might not want to talk about that, but I think the 9-1-1 is really starting to take its effect on the economy here and some of the bad regulations that we had. And, you know, clients that probably should be on with us are not on with us. And those are the battles that I have to do, break down those barriers, because we got clients who don't feel that African-Americans are worthy of advertising to.
Mm-hmm.
And who don't, they have this non-urban dictate. And I know you know about that, how they don't feel that we don't need to market to African Americans because they're going to come to us anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. And so, of course, you then as a broadcaster, you're challenged with creating a sense of community and unity community within your audience that says, hey, listen, the people who do advertise with us, they're taking a special investment in us. We have to let them know that they're going to expect a reasonable return on that investment.
That's right. You gotta assure them, let your audience know. That's how we stay on air. That's what keeps the lights on. You know, mm-hmm. So support these companies that has made an investment into your radio station, and God knows. And I think we've been our community's been very good on supporting the clients who've mm-hmm. been on our radio station. Most of our clients, once they come on, they continue to advertise with us. That's the good thing about it, because they do see the results. You know, I mean, Kitty, we are out in the community. We're doing remotes, you know, so we go far out there mm-hmm. to make sure our clients get the bang of our buck. So we have to. You know, we compete against, you know, Clear Channel and Citadel and, you know, other entities out there who have more money, more staff in some instance, and more resources than
we
do.
Yeah. Our guest in the hour today, second hour, is Paul Allen Billings. He is the CEO, proprietor, founder of 103.7thebeat.com. And you can give us a call today to talk with Paul about issues relative to the integrity of black communications, black media. And I think some people out there need to give Brother Paul a call just to say, hey, big up, enough respect, brother, for this investment of your life and your dreams and your visions that you're doing for the people. It's a great thing, and I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can speak with Paul today at 323-902-2919. You can call us toll-free at 800-842-1409. If you're in the UK, give a big up to Brother Paul from across the seas in that proper English, and you can call us in London at 020-800-2909-096. You can Skype us at LIB Radio, or we'll take your emails at info@libradio.net. And I really can't wait, Paul, until I can have the opportunity to travel through your area and get a chance to come by the station and see you and see the staff. And just, you know, I'm a you know, like one of them, you know, techie junkies, you know. So I always love coming through and looking at the equipment and the way things are set up. We do have a first phone call, Paul. Unless you have a comment, we can go right to the calls.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Caller, Akwaba, welcome. You're on with Paul Allen Billings. Your name, where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Raincoat Man.
All right. Greetings to you, Raincoat Man, a.k.a. Mr. 8-Ball from upstate New York. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the guest, when you go searching for advertising, is there a certain criteria you look for in a company when you try to secure advertising in terms of the relationship you want to have with advertisers?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking for companies who probably got an interest in our audience, African American audience, ages, you know, 18 to, you know, 59. I'm looking for companies who I know probably have ignored the demographics. I also look for companies who are also getting our business but not making an investment back into the community. And so and those are the ones I really go after first, because you know, so often the African American community is the last to be thought about when it comes down to charitable givings, but we are the most loyal customer in America. Once we gear in on a particular product line or particular store, we're very loyal to that. You know, it becomes a legacy in our family. So I go after those type of clients first.
Now, what's the ratio of your advertisers between local and, say, national?
All local. National advertising is far in between here in a small market. It only got 179,000, so All my advertisements local. Now we do have statewide appeal. The state of Michigan advertised us. I'm fit to have a great relationship with Governor. I just had her on radio Monday, Governor Granholm. So on the Lottery Commission, the health awareness spots, the Michigan State Police advertised with us, the county here advertised with us, and some of the statewide universities advertised with us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, does that I don't know if that includes Michigan Ann Arbor, if that's considered a state school.
Yeah, but no, Michigan's not on with us, no. And,
okay.
And honestly, I have not made a big effort towards University of Michigan because I know that I have been told that they don't do a lot of radio advertising, period, that they don't have to, but people just come to them. That's what I've been told.
Mm. Yeah.
But I would love to get some of that University of Michigan money.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And do you say you do, I may have missed the part of the conversation, you do have an advertising staff, people who are on staff just to secure the advertising, or is this one of them hats that you keep in your lower drawer on your
well,
right hand side?
We all multitask. Mm-hmm. It's about three of us who do that, including mm-hmm. myself and my operation manager. And we all, but nobody who does that 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who does total job is that? Most of the people, everybody that is doing sales, also on air personality too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And so, and it helps when you walk in that door and they know your voice,
mm-hmm.
they know your face, they've seen you, and that helps when it comes down to credibility issues.
Yeah, that is true. Follow up, Raincoat Man.
I'm on his website, so I'm just kind of getting a feel for what the radio station is. And to me, it seems like it still continues in that tradition of the radio stations of the 90s, WBLS, with Bob Law.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Burt.
Yeah, I read Bob Law books, and I actually had him on radio several times when we had some provocative topics, and he's an inspiration. I mean, Petey Green, everybody's seen the
mm-hmm.
seen the movie which about Petey Green, and so that's in my show, you know. And of course, all of my staff is not conscious like that. We the movement here that you got to groom people to be to that level. But once my staff come in, they become conscious to a lot of things that's going on, you know, when you start to share with them resources. So my show, which is from 2 to 6, is probably the more in-your-face on dealing with issues in the community. I ran an old interview that Khalid Muhammad did with Sean Hannity yesterday on radio, and that mm-hmm. blew people away.
Yeah.
And I know that you ain't going to find two of other black radio stations that's going to run a Khalid Muhammad calling the white folks devils. I mean, calling Sean Hannity the blue-eyed devil.
I bet you did generate quite a few telephone calls with that one.
Oh, yeah. Your folks was calling like, who's that? You know, who's that again?
Yeah,
but... And that's what we do, you know. We want to because we get a lot of complaints about Rush Limbaugh, you know, and Sean Hannity's, and I wanted to show them don't be inferior to these folks.
Mm-hmm.
You put them among some of the top African American scholars, they'd be broke down.
That's right. That is true.
But they won't allow that. You know, of course, Sean Hannity at that time was working on a small radio station in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't there allow somebody like Keaty to be on radio with him, on television with him where they can go back and forth.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Hannity will lose.
Yeah, that is so true. A follow-up comment or question, and I'm going to be changing the subject matter here in just a second, Renko Man.
Okay, I'll just take this one off the air. Let's say over the next 5 years, what would you want 103.7 to be in
wow.
terms of where in terms of its direction? Because I say 5 years from now, what should 103.7 look like?
Wow, that is a good question. We keep striving for perfection, keep striving to be better at what we do, and try to be more conscious. And you know, I just want to change our little community. I want to look back and say that we made a difference in the black community, that we have a more conscious-driven community where African-Americans are not judging people based on their color among each other, that dark-skinned is proud, you know, and that it's cool to have a coarse hair. I want us to look back and say that we became more conscious of the continent of Africa. You know, I'm married to a beautiful African lady from the country of Zambia,
mm-hmm.
and I I hear so many people who really got the misconceptions of what African people are about, where we come from, and I want to change that. I want to build that relationship. We had quite a few different people who from the continent of Africa talking about the movement there and how we can get involved there. I want to see us build the black business. You know, I really, it bothers me that, you know, that we only spend 5-6% of our money with black-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and what I did to practice what I preached last year, I did free remotes all last year, every Friday.
That's right.
Every Friday I did 4-hour remotes for free at a black-owned business for 2008.
Wow.
And that generated, that was about $60,000 worth of free advertising for black-owned business.
And that's
right.
That's
so
awesome.
I want to challenge, you know, other black-owned radio stations, you know, let's not forget about, you know, these black-owned mom-and-pop stores out there, man, that's struggling to make it, and let's keep talking to the consumer, because we've been told that white is right and black is wrong, you know, that you wear black to funerals but white to weddings, you know, that conception, the image that we've been given out there, we need to change that.
That's right.
No.
Well, I tell you, Paul, man, it makes me feel a deep, almost emotional kind of a response when I hear you describing what WUVS 103.7 The Beat is about. And I encourage people to go to the website 1037thebeat.com. And see Brother Paul. You can see his photograph. They got their contact information. You'll see their schedule. You can tune into his program, Afternoons. Now, that's Eastern Time schedule posted, or is that Central Time?
Yeah, that's Eastern Time. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Brother Paul is on daily from 2 p.m. until 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. on the West Coast. And we do encourage people to give him a listen and to support what he's doing. But what you're describing, Paul, reminds me of that old school black community radio station that I grew up with. In Columbus, it was WVKO. There was, of course, a station in every city. It was the center. It was the heartbeat of the black community.
Right, right. And somehow or another, we lost that, Katie. And can I give out a website? I want people to know more about Low Power FM, if anybody out there aspiring to own their own radio station.
Absolutely.
There's a website called recnet.com, and if you go there and click on Low Power FM and then click on your city, it has a engineering program there where you can see if there any license that might be available in your city where you live in. And the more remote area that you live in, that's away from the major metropolitan city, the better chances you will find a low-power FM radio station signal available.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I had always wanted one. I actually started two LPFM stations. And then the biggest one we started was, of course, these were non-licensed. You could, under FCC Rule 15, if you build your equipment, you could get away with it. So I actually had to solder transmitters and things together, you know.
And
it worked real well. We had a 30-watter up that had about a 3-mile radius, and of course, pi r squared gives you the area of a radius, and so we had about 20 square miles underneath our 3-mile radius, and we were able to actually cause a little bit of noise because it was right in the heart of the black community. But now I've moved 70 miles out of the city, and you just reminded me. I'm always complaining all day long because I can't get FM radio from L.A. on the other side of the mountains where I'm at in the high desert. So perhaps it's time for me to go through the process of applying for an LPFM license here in the Antelope Valley, which is severely lacking for local FM radio.
No doubt about it. You know, the opening window period probably isn't going to happen. It's going to happen probably this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so people should, you know, start to get their paperwork together. And I'll be willing to help folks out, you know, and talk to them about the process or what you should go through. You know, I didn't have to get an attorney. This is something really you could do yourself.
That's right.
I did this all myself. I did have an engineer overlook at my paperwork and make sure that the software program that I utilize online, that it was accurate. And but my and also I contacted my local congressperson here, who even though he's a Republican, he's a good guy, he made sure that our application got through real quickly. So we ended up, we was the first low power FM radio station in the state of Michigan, and that's because our congressperson realized. I told him that this is for the African American community. If we want to see change in our community, they need a voice.
Isn't that Paul? You're telling me that a Republican congressman did something to help African Americans? Come on, Paul.
No doubt about it, brother. I got the letter. Pete Hoekstra, man. Pete Hoekstra, you know what I mean? This person might be against affirmative action.
That's
you know, he voted for the war and other things that I might disagree with him, but he's done some great things here as a Republican on bringing jobs here to local companies, and he definitely went to bat for this radio station.
And he would be a hypocrite if he didn't stand up for an entrepreneur and businessman looking to branch out and create jobs. So, you know, it's a no-brainer. And that takes us to the second half of our discussion. And I wanted to kind of switch the discourse from the technicalities of being CEO of WUVS to being a broadcaster and as yourself also a very good analyst of the political trends and things going on. In Muskegon, I imagine there was a tremendous support for the Democrats and the new president, President Barack Obama. From your perspective, what are people getting now, insofar as the domestic scene with the change of administration?
You know, people are still excited. No doubt about it. People are still excited. What I'm seeing, I am seeing more folks involved in politics more than ever. More African Americans. You know, what are they getting as in funds? I don't know yet, but I know as an African Americans here, they tend to be more attentive. They watch CNN, MSNBC every day now. I'm seeing people talking about subjects that I never really thought they'd be talking about. Like, nobody really cared about what Rush had to say about black folks or, you know, 2 years ago. But so they're in tune on that, and to that point that they are paying more attention. But as in, you know, their lie, that's what I like to talk about. You know, I mean, we got African American president. But that don't do anything for you as in you handling your business as a father. That don't do anything for you as in putting food on your table if you're not going to school to get the education or if you are on drugs. That don't do anything for you. And so that's the conversation I like to continue to have. Because having a black president really don't change me as in Paul Allen Billings. And if I'm not handling my business, he's just a person who is working for the people overall.
Yeah.
And
good point that you make. And if I could build on that further, even the president himself has said to people, hey, you know, this is really on you and your motivations, your impetus, and the things that you coordinate. But one of the things that you mentioned is that the people are spending a lot more time tuned into television. On one hand, the media has sanctioned the legitimacy of an African-American man to rise all the way to this top executive position. Now, this is the same media, on the other hand, that has now gone back into this if-it-bleeds-it-leads mentality, showing you the pathologies of everyday life of being black in America. So now the people are sucked more into television because television had nice things to say about Barack Obama as president. But at the same time, the media is now feeding our people many of these pathologies of us being in this country. Do you see the point I'm making about this kind of mixed message of people watching more and more television?
Yeah. And I agree. But they're not going to give you really good sustenance. And that's the problem I had. I have with the media overall. They're not going to give you good substance. They got people's attention now, and they got them on edge, and I don't think they're feeding them the right substance they need to have. But that's why I'm for independent controlled media. And I spoke at the FCC about 5 years ago about community radio. The FCC, I've seen what I was doing, and invited me down. I was on a panel on how important it is to be independent owned and operated, and that includes television. You know, I think if you had a television station, Keedy, we would probably see a different point of view as in regards to the political scene.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably shift the focus on to some other core issues that's important to us,
rather than
some irrelevant information that keep running looping over.
Yeah, I do agree with you, and I do have this vision, and we're going to carry this vision all the way through to completion. We've hobbled up and wired up some semblances of what we intend to do out of, you know, these free internet-based technologies. But the reality about it is, Brother Paul, you know, with your annual operating budget at your LPFM station, which I imagine is probably substantial with the size of operation that you're doing, we're looking at television even on a scale of a similar scale. The costs are generally going to be about 10 times as much.
Right. Oh, yeah, it is. But I think with technology, unfortunately, the digital side is gonna hurt you. But I'm thinking with the fiats coming up, where Verizon's going to allow television to come through your internet, that could really change the way that television's being sent out, that through high-speed internet,
mm-hmm.
you can send your signal through the lines rather than through satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And send it digitally. So whenever they perfect that now, that could create some opportunities for people like yourself and us to not only do radio, but do television.
Yeah. Well, it's inevitable. It's coming. IPTV, Internet Protocol Television, is here in various forms right now, and the quality of it is very, very high. Yet people have to understand, you know, just you getting a signal into the air at 100 watts, I mean, as far as my research has been able to show, that can be accomplished for $2,000, $2,500. But that's like, you know, a one-time expense just for, you know, transmitter and a couple of other equipment to compress the signal and the antenna, et cetera, et cetera. But we're talking about the daily operating expenses of putting all this together. Probably in your situation, I'm sure runs into at least six, if not seven figures on an annual basis.
Yeah, it's six figures. You know what I mean? So you definitely got to stay hustling. You got to sign contracts that's going to last a year. You know,
mm-hmm.
you just can't stick around with month to month a contract. You need those guaranteed contracts. We do get a grant for Verizon every year for a student mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
We have young kids who come in from the local schools, paid and unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
One particular kid is what some folks would diagnose as being a special ed student, which I don't agree with. I don't
mm-hmm.
think he's special ed because he's just as intelligent as I am. But this young man comes in and he gets a grade and he learns about Adobe Premiere audio program,
mm-hmm.
Cuedo Pro audio program, and all the different software that we have here. So we get grants for stuff like that, and even when we didn't have grants, we still, you know, had those kind of programs for the youth.
Mm-hmm. So you are specialized education as opposed to special ed, which has come to be a negative connotation.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely I don't agree if half the kids that have been diagnosed as special ed should be in special education. You know, if that was the case, we wouldn't even have Dr. Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted him to be a special ed student, and
mm-hmm.
now he's the number one doctor in the world.
Yeah,
African American. So
that is so true. That's so true. As a broadcaster, as a journalist, you're hearing responses from our people about much of the stuff that they see in other media. Right now, there seems to be a lot of reactivity of racist provocations with cartoons and Barnes & Noble's bookstore windows and things. I'd like to have your comment about some of this background stuff that's going on that's causing African Americans to be quite concerned about a new era of racist provocation.
Well, of course, the cartoons. I definitely disagree with the cartoons and the New York Post. That was not called for. I think the intention was malice intent.
Mm-hmm.
On that. I've seen a picture of the Barnes & Noble. I wanted to get more, find out more information to make sure it was not photoshopped.
I agree with you. I've been examining the photo closer and closer and closer because, you know, there's some reflections in the picture, and I'm trying to figure out if this picture is legitimate because there's still no indication that the Barnes & Noble logo was anywhere in the photo. So, I agree with you there. Continue.
Yeah. So, instances like that. But I definitely disagree with the New York Post. I think it was a malice intent, and And I think this is the world we live in. We got to realize that with an African-American president, that some people are upset. Some people are upset because he's black. Some people are upset because of his policies. And it's gonna happen. Unfortunately, it's going to happen. What can we do about it? I think we don't support those business who are not catering to our needs, who are not sympathetic to our thoughts. But really, Keedy, I did not spend that much time on radio talking about it. I can't lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take a lot of phone calls on it because I know we got some issues here directly. I don't want our people to get on focus on about why is it in our town that the jail 60-70% African Americans, when the city and the county is 15% African American. That's a problem that we need to deal with here locally, that racism that we can control. So I wanted to keep our listeners thinking about the stuff that's going on here that we can change.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make in our city. We can't do nothing to harm New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
But we can change our county government. And when it comes down to sentencing our African Americans to more time, and then European counterparts. So,
mm-hmm.
myself, I'm trying to keep the issues focused. Of course, when you know incidents come up, that's a national, and a lot of people are talking about it, and I will read about it and get the news out there and get the story. But I really want to focus on some issues that's going on in our community right now. We got African Americans who can't even get a job, who get out of prison. People refuse to hire manpower in our city. Refuse to hire people who have been to prison. You know. That is an issue. And so we had an African-American who died in the police hands, who was saying to the police after he got gas that, "I cannot breathe, I cannot breathe." And the police mocked him. An hour later, while he's at the precinct, he collapsed and dies. After, this police had a chance to take him to the hospital. They rode past the hospital on the way to the precinct.
Mm-hmm.
But they mocked this guy because he resisted arrest. Now, didn't throw a punch at nobody, didn't hit a police officer. He didn't feel like he should have been handcuffed because, you know, he hadn't done anything wrong, in his opinion. And so, but there was no outroar from my African-American preachers or our so-called civil rights leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these are some of the issues that I continue wanting to talk about and keep at the forefront. And I lost a friendship at the police department because I gave my opinion on the issue. You know,
yeah.
I had a good relationship with City Hall Police Department, with the chief particularly. He done a 1-hour show on my radio station, but I had to tell him personally on the phone that I believe his officers was negligent, and our relationship changed after that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the issues that I wanted to keep our listeners on top of, because they can directly change those.
What is the demographic makeup of Muskegon?
Well, the county is 15% black, but when you narrow it down to Muskegon and Muskegon Heights is a smaller community inside of the county.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 12,000 people, but it's 90% black.
Okay,
and,
all right. Okay,
yeah.
So you are serving a self-serving of a community that looks like us, and that's great. That is really great. For those just tuning in, our guest, Paul Allen Billings. He's the founder, CEO of WUVS 103.7, The Beat. And we're talking about low-power FM radio. We're talking about the challenges of black media. And we're also talking about the issues that do affect black people's lives. We'd love to hear from you today. To give a call to Paul and give him a big up, a congratulations to a brave brother out there on the front line giving a significant proportion of his life in service of community. Personally, I think the sisters and brothers would call up just to let the brother know you appreciate him. So here's the numbers. At 8:43 a.m. on the West Coast, 11:43 a.m. on the East Coast. Call Paul at 323-902-2919. You can call toll-free 800-842-1409. You can call us in London at 0208-002-9096, email info@libradio.net, and Skype us at LIB Radio. And, Paul, is it as hard for you to get people to call up and participate in the program as it is for me? Because we got a good-sized listening audience on with us.
I know. You know, sometimes it depends on the subject matter. You know, it depends on the subject matter. When you have, because I my audience, I mean, you have an audience that's very conscious. So I'm surprised it would be hard for people to call in. But my audience is so broad,
mm-hmm.
You probably only have a certain percentage of them who are conscious. So it's kind of hard for them to follow Francis Cress Welsin,
mm-hmm.
you know, or Dr. Jawanza Kunjufu or Dr. Malanga Karinga. We have another local brother here by the name of Franklin Fadao, who is just as articulate and the good orators they are,
mm-hmm.
that I have on radio. Some people don't feel inclined to call in because they know they might not be able to match the intensity of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and the fact that they soaking in information, that I'm just happy to know that people are listening. I know you got a lot of listeners, and I just hope they go to that website.
That's right.
To try to look and see if there are radio signal available in a area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we're going to have some people probably send me an email later on.
That's right. And once again, that website for checking up on the availability of LPFM licensing?
It's recnet.com, recnet.com.
I'm definitely going to be checking them out, but we do have a caller who has joined us, Akwahaba. Welcome. Your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up? It's Carl from Africa Beach. Hotel.
Brother Carl from African Beach, formerly known as Long Beach. Great to hear from you. You're on with Paul Allen Billings, or just Brother Paul. That's
good.
Yeah. What's on your mind today, Brother Carl?
Just wanted to give a shout out to Brother Paul and just say, hey, you know, Hotep, you know, thanks for the work you're doing and all that, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
Man. Hey, tell me about Africa Beach, man.
It's you know, I mean, other than the fact that it's starting to rain here, is, you know, there's the demographic is changing quite drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the Hispanic community is taking over, like, in droves, you know. I mean, very entrepreneurial, you know, I got to hand it to them. You know, they're very enterprising. There's a lot of issues right now in the city concerning the water, as well as you know, California is pretty much on its, it's on its last leg anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, I mean, it's, you know, it's livable.
Yeah. Africa Beach, Long Beach, is the largest of the L.A. suburbs. I think there's probably 70 or so cities all in the main metropolitan area. And it had, at the time I was living there, it had a population of about 57,000 black people. But I think that population has shrunk probably dramatically and being displaced by Spanish-speaking people. And I do agree with you, Brother Carl, when you talk about they are enterprising, they are family-based, they are community-based. Let me kind of extend that to you, Paul. Are you also witnessing in Michigan this influx of immigrant populations coming into parts of black community?
No. That shocked me here because, you know, Michigan's too cold for them. So they come up here, they go to Holland. Holland, Michigan is south of us,
mm-hmm.
and they have a bunch of assembly lines there. They come there and work during the summertime. But as in Stan overall population,
mm-hmm.
I could probably go, Lord knows, I can probably go a week before I see a Hispanic person where I'm at. Unfortunately, I know there's a different story in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But they have in the Grand Rapids, there's quite a few Hispanics in Grand Rapids, but not to the point over there in Bob, you know, and taking over as, and of course you got a mayor there in LA that's Hispanic and, not in politics, man. They, we got a couple of Hispanic newspapers in West Michigan, but the population is not what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, contrary to Chicago. Now you go to Chicago, which is like 2.5 hours away from us. It's a different story.
Yeah.
You know. Can I ask a brother about KJLH, man, African American on radio station? Are they down with the conscious movement, KJLH?
Brother Carl, you want to respond to that first?
Yeah, I barely listen. The only times that I've heard little things, very tacit, you know, there's a lot of implied, only the times that I do listen, you know, when I'm driving or whatnot. Normally I'm usually either listening to like finance or, you know, other things that are a little bit more pressing for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do have that morning talk radio program, Paul, but for 15 years or so, their only talk radio program that they'll bring that really addresses community issues runs from 4:30 a.m. until 6 a.m.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
And that's really kind of a slap in the face of the community. And then, of course, they come in the early morning show and they attempt to emulate that, you know, kind of happy African-American programming that's cookie-cutter across the country. you know, lightly address contemporary issues. You bring in your two or three people to laugh in the background at the host's jokes, who is, and it is an attempting to be a comedian at the same time. And meanwhile, playing music that really doesn't have any real substance and soul about it. And mix that with a little bit of oldie so people know that there is still some music that you relate to. You know, in a city like Los Angeles, where that's really kind of like the last African-American owned outlet for media and broadcasting and journalism, we would love to have some more substance so that we could continue a sense of community around it. But quite simply, Los Angeles is losing its African-American demographic. And that's part of the reason why, is because the media has never really served the integrity of that community.
Right, right. And maybe, hopefully some people can call in, maybe the brother in the line can tell us what we as black media, what you'd love to see more from us as a black media owner.
Well, let's begin with Carl, and then we'll free up the line and see who else wants to respond to that question.
Wow, man, it would take quite some time. I mean, it's kind of hard to do a lot with a little, and you're doing everything you can. You know, everything and then some. You know, I think it would be more of what people can do that are listening. Okay. People that are out there getting the resource and knowledge. I think that's where it's, what can they do to try to propel black media, to get black media to where, you know, it could actually help and do more for them as well, you know, as well as themselves. One thing I wanted to ask you, Brother Paul, do you, other nationalities, other cultures, other, you know, immigrant groups, what kind of businesses are they establishing in the Michigan area? Which ones are thriving, and which ones, do they make the soul, or shut, I won't say the soul, but the majority of their income off of, black folk?
Well, all of them make the income off black folks. So, we definitely have, the Middle Easterns who have come in and taken over the gas station, the clothing industry. We have, of course, the Asians who brought in the Chinese restaurants, and they all cater to African Americans. We don't have, like I say, we don't have a bunch of Hispanics here, in our area, but those who are here, they have established some Hispanics restaurants, and I've got a couple of Hispanics, stores where you can, buy food and all that. So, and all of them cater to African Americans. Mm-hmm. African Americans have made, particularly the Middle Easterns here, very happy. Mm-hmm. One young man told me that he makes over $1 million a year and, sends his money back to Middle Eastern. Dearborn, Michigan is, got the highest population of Arabs, in the United States. Because, Detroit and other cities across the state of Michigan, do very well in taking care of the Arabs.
Brother Carl, appreciate hearing from you.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Have you guys.
Take care, brother. Thanks for calling.
And we do have another one that just came in via Skype. Brother Pianchi is in the house. You're on with Brother Paul. What's on your mind today, Brother Pianchi? Brother Pianchi, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's on your mind today?
Okay, you know, before I get started, I also wanted to let you know that Al Lumpkins passed away Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Marcus Watson with Ujamaa Bookstore, he passed away Sunday also. So, anyway, I listened to Paul, and you mentioned how the Middle Easterners and the other immigrants are coming into the African-American communities here in the United States and turning things that we used to just walk by and describe as being eyesores into enterprises. And I just want to ask you, why is that? And do you think that it has a lot to do with the educational system that we are not getting?
All right. Oh, yeah, I definitely believe that. I think the schools and I think the parents could play a better role in educating our youth about themselves or who we are, where we come from. But particularly, this is what I notice about the Arabs. The Arabs make an investment with each other. I don't see them in our soul food restaurants. I don't see them in our churches. I don't see them in our stores buying clothes. They buy their product from each other, contrary to us. There's a saying, particularly among Jews, that their money turn over 7 times in the community before it goes out. And the Arabs make sure they bring another buddy over with them, spot them some money, so he can set up shop. And once he set up shop, he paid the other brother back, and he brings somebody else with him. So these folks are coming over here with some money, and they see diamonds where we don't. You know what I mean? They see diamonds in the rough where we don't. And have been very good at, and once again, African-Americans have made them rich because of our shortcomings. And I don't want to criticize people that drink, but it's a lot of liquor stores that they are prospering from, you know, off of us. So we got Budweiser, Miller, and you got these heirs who are getting rich on liquor stores because of us.
I read a statistic, Keedy, that the Koreans that own that control the liquor stores there in South Central LA. Mm-hmm. But whatever group controlled the liquor stores in South Central LA is more business in their nature done in that area than in the entire state of Vermont and Maine combined.
Wow.
And that is a lot.
That's a lot.
But it seems like that these people are being educated and given skills where they're coming from that's unheard of here in our community, because if we were receiving, it seemed like we would be doing these things ourselves as far as taking these eyesores and taking these things that we have available and turn them into the enterprises that they should be. It seemed like we run away from that type of thing rather than galvanizing to it.
Right. We do have a second call that's going to join us. It's almost like they're social and economic alchemists turning lead into gold.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to listen. Thanks a lot, Key. You're doing a very good job.
All right. Thank you, brother.
And you also, Paul.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Brother Paul, you wanted to respond to that before we go to a second call?
Yeah. I wanted to make a comment because I did a 4-hour segment on what can we learn from Arabs and Asians. Mm-hmm. And so I had people from the Asian movement, people from the Arabs Association of America, and one thing I learned that I was told about them that they have a commitment to their community. They're dedicated to their cause. So the Arabs come over here, and not particularly that they want to get rich. They come over here to make money to send back to their family members across the waters. Mm-hmm. And they're very loyal to whatever they believe in. So whatever movement that they got going on over, whether it be Pakistan or Iraq or whether it be any other Middle Eastern country, they are totally committed to that movement and making money for their family. And so I think that's the big difference. They don't ride around with Rams. They don't ride around with the most expensive cars. You see their house. Now, of course, they have a very luxurious house, but they come here with one purpose, and that is to take care of their folks back in the Middle East.
Yeah. Let's go to calls once again. This will be our final call for the program. Your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, greeting. This is Brother Tabakuti from Asarhadset City.
Brother Tabakuti, Asarhadset City, formerly known as Atlanta. You're on with Brother Paul Allen Billings. What's on your mind today?
Yes, Brother Paul, you had posed a question as to what would we like to expect from black media. I would like to see, you know, black media take more of the youth and begin to show them what's going on within the community, as well as, you know, in broadcasting and how, you know, what other people are doing to move themselves forward and what we can do and how they can, you know, push that even further. And also I would like to see, you know, black media, for instance, when anyone make any comments against Barack Obama, black folks want to get up in arms. For instance, when Tavis Smiley interviewed Cornel West and Julianne Malveaux, and each of them, and they are respected in their craft, when each of them said that he wasn't speaking to us when he gave his acceptance speech in Denver, people became outraged. But when you look at it, anything that he does, he won't come out and speak for black anything. And it's as if we're supposed to go along with the program and not expect it. I'm not saying not expect anything, because when he said that he was working on something for an immigrants' rights bill, which, you know, these people are not citizens, but yet they have already been, he spoke to them with public policy and the funding of that public policy. But I would like to see black media do that same thing for black people, speak public policy and direct those who need to be pushed in a manner and how they could push their officials to bring forth that public policy and the funding of it.
Right, I agree, and I could be honest with you. I was a supporter of Barack Obama. I gave money to his campaign, but I also challenged him on radio. I challenged him on. I had a website, election website, CashYourVote2008.com. Particularly, several things that bothered me, and I even called his campaign office. I even called his one of his senior advisor, Michael Strametis, when I seen that he was ignoring the black media when it came down to advertising dollars. So he's not beyond being criticized. But as an independent owner, I think I got more flexibility. I was definitely disturbed during Juneteenth. He didn't even, when he acknowledged slavery, he didn't even mention African Americans, particularly in his whole acknowledgement of slavery. I did not like what went on with the Martin Luther King situation. I don't like the fact that he was against reparations, and he spoke to us, a group of journalists at the NABJ Unity Convention in Chicago, and I was there in that room when he made a promise to the Indians that he would take care of them. And he made a promise to the Hispanics he would take care of them, and in that same time he's against reparations. So I can agree with him and disagree and challenge him at the same time. And I definitely have let my voice be heard to his administration. I got letters here that I typed up to his administration and to advertising agency during the campaign and some of the concerns. I think we need to continue to do that, and sometimes the media got to do something that's not popular. I mean, so many folks are worried about ratings. You know, 55% of 50 to 60% of black radios is women, and I know that mainstream media don't want to piss off women because they would turn the channel. And so I know why a lot of the radio people would not speak out against Obama during this time because of the ratings. The program director coming there crazy, going off on him. But, you know, I'm not driven by ratings, even though we got great ratings. I have a conscience, and I think God gave me a duty, you know, when he gave me an obligation. And I'm hoping that at the end of the day that I've done what he asked me to do, and is to hold these folks accountable and be an independent journalist looking out for the interests of the African-American community.
Tabakuti, we have 20 seconds for you to wrap up.
Okay. If I may ask you, when you sent those letters out, did you receive any replies, and how were the replies acceptable if you did receive any? And I
got it. It wasn't acceptable. No, it wasn't acceptable. And you know, I had to tell him I disagree. Mm-hmm. You know, I disagree, and understand that the brother don't want to speak bad against, don't want to say I agree with you because they are working for him. You know, I just want this to be noted. I wanted his people to be noted that people see this and that we disagree on this right here. You know, I disagree that you know you could even mention African Americans. And when it came down to slavery and Juneteenth celebration, I disagree that, you know, you couldn't even attend Martin Luther King celebration in Memphis. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know you got time limits there, Akiti. I want to mess you up there, but but you got people who are getting paid by this administration who's not going to speak out against them, and they see it.
Well, Paul, let me ask you this, because I'm at the point where I need to click and go forward. What we're going to have to end the program because we do have something else coming in a regular scheduled slot. And obviously you and I are going to have to pick up this conversation and do our regular simulcast on both of our networks.
Yes. You know I love that, man. We have to do that. We have to figure out where we can make that happen. I can broadcast you on radio, even on over the air here for a segment here, and let the Living in Black crowd be on our radio station, man. You know, I would love to do that.
Brother Paul, you and I will work that out within 1 to 2 weeks at the maximum. We promise that to our listeners and both stations.
Can I give out a website before we go? I don't know if you had any more questions.
As much information as you want to share.
I have a singles website for Black and Proud African American, and it's called blackandproudsingles.com.
Black and Sue brothers and sisters can get some Black and Proud hookups over there?
Yeah, we're looking for conscious single African Americans. And if you put in the promo code 103.7, There's a gold membership status for you instantly. 103.7. It's blackandproudsingles.com. Keaty, man, I'm need your help on, man. I would love to get you to do a blog, or I'm gonna do a link over to you, because I got this and I put this together to create a conscious single, network.
All right.
Of singles.
Brother can find him a nice conscious single BBW over there too.
Yeah. You know, we got a lot of African women on the site too. So,
oh,
you know what I mean?
That is so beautiful. I'm proud of you, Brother Paul, because in listening to you and knowing what you're doing and knowing and hearing the story of your life commitment to this, brother, you're doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing. I'm proud of you. You are one of them 360 degree brothers.
Thank you, man.
Yeah,
thank
and,
you.
And now you're not one of those black and proud singles yourself over there, are you?
No. I'm happily married, man. I got a beautiful black sister from the country of Zambia.
That's right. You were saying.
But I did meet her online, and okay. So I met her. We've been married now just 2 years, man. But it goes so quick, and she's the love of my life. God has been good to
That's
me.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
So you're a living testament that meeting somebody online can work to that good, committed life partnership.
No doubt. I got several friends who are married people that they met online, and you know, we dated for over a year.
That's right.
You know, and got to know each other, but it definitely can work. That's why I put together Black and Proud Singles, man.
That is so beautiful. I'm proud of you, Brother Paul. Once again, for someone who wants to know more about what you do, they can go not only to blackandproudsingles.com, but they can go to 1037thebeat.com, and that's where they can also listen to your program online.
There you go, man. And I got other ventures, but you know, when you get me back on, I'm gonna tell you about some of the other stuff we do on the side. We have a lace wigs business that we do.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and my radio station is our outreach, and we'll talk about that in another time. And man, you keep doing what you're doing, brother. I'm gonna talk about you on radio this afternoon, so you people be listening if you can. I'm gonna talk about the movement, what you got going on, and Living in Black, and your conscious people, and they can feel free to listen online to us and call in during my show.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage out of town callers to call into our show and make a statement about any particular topic.
And that's 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays, and that is 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Pacific Time. I think I'm going to call in today because I'm going to be listening. If you start talking about me bad, I'm going to call in.
Oh, no, God, no. What can I say bad about you, brother? Man, you the man, man. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get the names you got on your list. I'm trying to get a quarter of them. You know
hey,
what I mean?
Well, my Rolodex is your Rolodex, Brother Paul.
Thanks, Akiti, man. God bless you, man. You're a good brother, man. Keep doing it, and I'm going to help you out on that station, too.
That's
you got
right.
My word, too.
Enough respect to you, Lion. And we are going to change directions here. Coming up, we got a regular Wednesday broadcast with our brother, Reverend Hedy Kafra, who I believe is on the telephone line. Hedy Kafra?
Yes, I am. But remember, I said I'm taking off today.
Okay, off today. So we'll connect with you then next week. I'll just put one of your other programs back into the slot so people can get that little meditation. Yes.
Just plug in something real quick on a comment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The comment was, you know, someone made a statement about the Asians coming into our communities and the Jewish stores. And my own belief is this, and practice is
this. And we'll have to make this comment very, very quick.
Very quick, they have a spiritual cultural base that's indigenous culture,
that's right.
And that helps to unify them. Every Chinese store got a Buddhist shrine. The Muslims, all these Arab stores are Muslims, and the Jewish stores are definitely Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of thing. That's all I want to say.
All right, you're making great sense, and we appreciate you sharing that with us as we go forward and end the program for today. And I want to thank you to all the people who called in, and today was a wonderful day, robust engagement. So I'm going to put these programs right up in the catalog, and I do encourage you to support your brother, our brother, Brother Paul Allen Billings, with 103.7 The Beat. They are at 1037thebeat.com. You can learn much more about what they're doing and how this is not just the past, not just the present. But this is the future of black communications. Us doing it for ourselves, with ourselves, being responsible to community, and being responsible to the real challenges that the community faces, as well as being a constant celebration of the sense of community. That's a good mission. That's a great life mission. And this is a life mission that all of us can get with, all of us can be proud of. And so as we go forward, do stay in tune with our ancestral contributions to civilization. Do stay tuned to our culture, our unique, dynamic, self-serving culture. A culture that's built upon the wise elders of countless generations who laid down a golden pathway for us. Stay true to that pathway. Teach your children to appreciate every brick and every stone in that pathway, which is a lifetime of commitment and self-sacrifice. We honor our elders, we honor ourselves, we honor our children by staying true to our culture, building on our culture, and moving into a dynamic future. Ashe, ashe yo.